Welcome. William Evans here, and you are listening to a Living World Conversation. Our guest today is Shayla Paradise. Welcome, Shayla.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Will.
Oh, happy to have you. As a child, you spent some time living on a lake in Minnesota, and you realized you loved being outside.
Yes, that's right.
However, from age 3 to 21, you seriously believed you were going to be a Broadway actress and traveled that path.
That's right.
But you noticed when you were in the conservatory theater program in Manhattan that you were daydreaming about fir trees and mountain streams.
Yes, that was life to me.
So shortly after graduating, you moved to Glacier National Park in Montana.
Correct.
How did you pick Glacier?
When I was 14 years old, I was out there with a family friend who had a cabin in Polebridge, Montana. And I fell so in love with the lifestyle just in 1 week's visit.
And so that was kind of in the middle of that time you were committed to the theater.
That's right.
But you never forgot the experience in Polebridge.
That's right.
So when you moved to Glacier, hiking became a way of life for you.
That's right, big time.
And this summer, you've been walking the Appalachian Trail from north to south.
Correct.
And you said earlier it was a dry summer.
Yes, it was a very dry summer. In New England, there were springs that were not giving water that are usually relied on.
And you even realized your body was drying out.
Right, yes.
And it was hot?
It was very hot. There were days that were 100 degrees.
Yeah, in Maine.
In Maine.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it was smoky.
That's right, yeah. Wildfires mostly in Canada.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you were walking south one morning and asked if you were to continue your journey on foot. And the answer came back, no.
Yes, that's right.
And a short while later, you saw a bear with fearful eyes. And a clear feeling came to you that you could no longer encroach on other creatures' habitat.
That's right.
Simultaneously, over the last couple of years, you've been becoming an active participant in a confluence of indigenous wisdom and colonization, building a bridge between those two worldviews.
Yes.
Do you want to say a little more about that?
Sure. Well, I believe this is something that's happening all over the planet, but the places where I've experienced it have been in Australia with some ceremonies led by Aboriginal elders, and also in Japan with some peace ceremony brought together from all over the world. And it feels like the messages are coming in pretty clearly that it's time for us all to work together. And this is part of that, no longer being divided into indigenous and colonial, but taking the best of what we all have to offer and working together to move forward.
This might be an appropriate moment then to just acknowledge you've documented your many earlier walks. Mm-hmm. In a lovely book titled Footprint of a Heart.
Yes.
18,000 miles of stillness that moves.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about those earlier walks?
Sure. Yeah. I started walking when I was 24 after a few years living in Montana and realizing that no amount of hiking was too much. And so I went to the woods thinking it was a way to decompress and restore my faith in humanity was what I thought I was walking out there to do. And over the course of 10 years, I ended up walking 5 long walks, and it just kept getting deeper and deeper as I walked. And now I kind of understand that I walk because I can't not. It's like this deep calling that I answer.
Are you walking more slowly now?
Yes, actually.
Because one of the feelings I had from your book mm-hmm. was that you were, when you were younger, you were traveling pretty fast.
I was, yeah. That's right.
And would it be accurate to say that this summer's trip included this growing awareness that the Earth is asking you to honor Indigenous ways?
Absolutely. A few sacred practices have been a really big part of my hike this summer.
Yeah, you mentioned those practices.
Yeah.
And one of them is singing to the directions.
That's right. Yep, singing to the 4 directions each morning.
Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely, yeah. So this is a song I sang every day on the Appalachian Trail, and it's by a woman named Kate Wolf, and it's called the Medicine Wheel song. It starts in the east, and I always tap a beat with my feet and face each direction while I sing it.
Right.
And it starts. When the morning breaks and the sunlight warms my soul, in the east the eagle flies and the red tail proudly soars, I'm on my way to the place of the spirit one. Grandfather, hear my call, I am on fire. Let the sun dance guide my feet to your desire. Show me visions for my eyes and words like gold that shimmer like the sun. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. When the sun goes down and it grows too dark to see, I look within. To the shaman's mystery, I'm on my way. To die and live again. Grandmother, hear me now, give me rest. I take my place with the woman of the West. Show me the raven and the bear, the way of herbs and the black obsidian. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. I turn toward the south like water I will run. Innocence and trust, the moon child song is sung. I'm on my way to the place of the sacred plants, my emotion and my will at their command. Where the turtle's voice is heard upon the land, and the wise coyote prowls, the rattlesnake will call me to the dance. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. In the deepest night, the stars watch over me. Old woman of the north, my mind seeks clarity. I'm on my way to the place of the northern wind. May the thunder and the lightning carry me and lay my thoughts to rest as you take me on to sleep. The hawk and the buffalo, my dreams, white crystal, magic medicine. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. And then I always touch the sky and give it thanks. And then Mother Earth and give her thanks. And with one deep breath, draw it all into the center, right before my heart.
And connect it mm-hmm. with the harmony around you mm-hmm. and within you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it almost feels multidimensional. Usually when I finish, like there's a star right here in front of your heart. Like the cosmic, everything is coming together right here.
Aho.
Aho.
So one morning this summer,
mm-hmm.
as you were walking, you were singing and something happened when you were singing to the north.
That's right. Yeah, I had a vision in a way that I've never had a vision before. That really was as though the astral world or the dream world that I like to practice being in sort of overlaid over the physical world. And I could see a being that I've never seen before. And I'm really still trying to discover what all of it means and how to be with it and how to represent it well and know it by its name. But this energy of the north really felt very close the whole time I was walking. And every time I would turn to the north, I would feel sort of a tingle and started to have conversations with the thunder and noticing that I can communicate with it and I can understand at least a little what it's communicating with me.
And from what I know, the north is also the direction of wisdom.
Ah, that's beautiful.
This is KDNK. You're listening to a Living World conversation with Shayla Paradise. Do you think singing awakens your soul?
Absolutely. Yes. And others. I think so.
Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I feel like so much of it is that everything is a vibration. So that's how I experience it, is almost as though there's more of a permeable boundary between the being that is me and the things that are around me when there is singing, when there is a vibration of sound present, sort of like we mesh together in a bigger way.
And a soulful worldview sees everything as alive,
mm-hmm.
aware, and related.
Absolutely.
So, having said that, and having that vision when you were in the north,
mm-hmm.
your path then carried you across Interstate 90.
That's right.
And you had a heavy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to revisit what we talked about at the very beginning in more detail.
Sounds good.
So I want you to expand on it for us, because that morning when you asked permission and sang your song on the other side of Interstate 90,
mm-hmm.
you told me you felt sick.
I did.
And something didn't feel right.
Right. That's exactly right. So it could just kind of like that there's some sort of misalignment that is present. And my first thought was, is this a no? Did I just receive a no then? And how do I be with that? Or how do I make sure that I am being understood and understanding what's communicating? But I also wasn't sure if it could be energy of the area that I was in. Now I'm in the part of Massachusetts where there's been some history on the land. That is, I mean, there's probably that everywhere. but knowing that there's witch hunting nearby and close to the Shays Rebellion site, and just kind of wondering, am I feeling something that's here, or is this specifically a no that I'm meant to listen to?
Yeah, so initially you didn't really understand why you were feeling this way, and you were
right.
You were trying to figure it out.
That's right. Yep.
And you didn't know what to do right away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you began to acknowledge that this could be your last day on the trail.
Right.
And then after breakfast, you saw the bear.
Yeah, that's right.
And the look in the bear's eyes was something you knew.
It was. Yeah, it really brought it home for me.
Can you tell us what you saw?
Yeah, I stopped to face the bear to say hello. I love bears. I'm very comfortable around them. And so we were out of safe distance, and I acknowledged the bear and said hello, and it stopped what it was doing, digging, and it looked up at me. And as soon as my eyes really met the bear's eyes, I felt it. And it was this sense of something's not right here. Like something's being pushed, or, you know, something's out of alignment, and you know it. And for me, I was like, okay, I hear that. Like something's misaligned with the water, the forest, and I want to give it space. And I can see this bear is struggling just to eat and drink and be, and doesn't have very many places to go. And here I am walking when I would rather give it space and let it live its life.
And you suggested that you had been consciously communicating with bears as a part of your practice.
That's right. Yep. Bears are sort of my practice animal of knowing that we can communicate with animals. It's a wordless communication and sort of a vibration, like something that we can very well access. And the animal that I am most able to do that with is the bear.
And was this a black bear?
It was, yes.
So, Shayla, are you finding your indigenous identity?
I believe so. I believe the life I've lived has sort of come from an indigenous heart.
So this call to do so much walking in the wild.
Yes.
Is also listening to your soul.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet you grew up in a colonizing world.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Yeah.
and found refuge in walking trails.
Mm-hmm.
And experienced a growing relationship with Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say anything more about shedding some of your colonization?
Yeah, I can say that it comes from learning that there's reciprocity, that the Earth is listening while I am listening to it. And so once I start to see that circle rather than a sort of linear framework that my brain has been used to, once I start to see that interconnectedness and the relationship. And it, to me, I relate to it as intimacy, like that I have intimacy with the water. I have intimacy with the trees. There's a knowing that comes from giving as well as receiving. And that is really changing the whole way that I look at things. And in real time, it's gotten actually kind of transitionally challenging for me to come off of the trail and the whole now what, and what's your next this and that and this and that, and how are you going to make money, and where are you going to live, and all of this. I'm kind of confused right now, and really wanting to hold that indigenous heart and wondering how I can support myself structurally around that. And I do think there's a beauty in that possibility for all of us, that the structure still has its place as long as it's holding the indigenous heart. I'm grateful for our logic as long as it's in service to, I believe, our higher intelligence, our heart.
So your simple practices include making a gift to the trail.
Right.
Say more about that gifting and what went into it.
Yeah, well, in a way, the song is a gift every morning. Breath is a gift, you know, just when you know that you're dedicating it to something. And I carried a medicine bag, a pouch around my neck as well, that had some herbs in it, sort of a potpourri of everywhere that I've walked in a sacred way. And so before I started, I offered a sprinkle of it, and I asked the trail's permission to be there, rather than just thinking I can. I asked its permission, and I felt the yes. And the yes is a really beautiful feeling. You know, it's a, like a tingle up your spine and a warmth that comes behind your heart and holds you very well. And so, learning to receive that and to acknowledge that it's real, that really we do receive communication.
And so you talked some about the experience of that gifting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also get a feeling that there's a heightened level of connection?
Absolutely. Like an open space, almost like a portal, as though you're living in the physical world with the spiritual overlaid on it.
But there's a relationship, your connection to the trail.
Yeah.
And the whole landscape you're walking through.
Yeah, that's right.
Your whole relationship to Mother Earth,
mm-hmm,
is awakened by that gifting connection.
Absolutely.
So you're learning to see through your heart.
Yeah.
Very different worldview than looking at it from a profit and loss point of view.
It is very different.
Mm-hmm. And yet you've got to have the money to get home if you decide you're not supposed to be on the trail.
Right, exactly.
And is that what happened?
Yes. Yep. I went on a journey in search of what might be in the north that was trying to communicate with me.
Okay.
And it took me all over New York, actually, and to Syracuse, New York. Absolutely.
Say something about your journey.
Yeah.
To figure out what the North was about.
Yeah, well, what I learned from my journey, and I went to honor a teacher of mine who lives in Syracuse, Robin Wall Kimmerer, the author, whose words have inspired me in such great ways and been life-changing, and I went to offer her a gift as my teacher, to have reciprocity, to thank her deeply for how her words changed my life. And I ended up meeting a plant that I was so excited to meet, an underwater plant in a freshwater reef, which I didn't know was a thing. At Green Lake State Park. And that's where I chose to camp. And when I sent Robin Wall Kimmerer an email, I called it Cedar and the Bear, knowing that I have a deep connection to cedars and the bear. And just thinking she would understand that. And when I got to the campsite I had reserved, my tent went right under two cedar trees. And right away I met the plants of the water. And I realized that the plants of the water are part of my favorite story that I do believe my life is in service to, which is the story of the Earth's first breath and how oxygen arrived here on the planet.
Wow.
Yeah.
So these long walks are awakening your innate indigenous wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us more about that awakening.
Well, I guess it's kind of hard to know how to talk about it, to be honest.
Do you
honest.
Want to sing about it?
I mean, that's a great idea. Yeah, I guess I could sing about it.
Like, sing about it.
So a lot of it has been receiving song and hearing how it works. Like I'll go for a hike in an aspen grove and I'll sit down and a little rhythm will just start tapping in my heart and I feel it and I know that it's coming from outside of me and within me. And then words just arrive. Trust in your own peaceful heart, love. Rest in your own guiding light. Trust in your own peaceful heart, love. Rest in your own guiding light. And things like this just come. And it's so real. But is it hard to share? to put on paper, you know?
I was taught to connect the rhythm of my heart with the rhythm of the earth,
yes,
and heaven.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah, it feels like it all starts with that beat, really.
And so you're picking up that rhythm.
Yeah.
And singing is your soul,
mm-hmm,
saying yes.
It's like a dance of the soul.
Do you want to say more about the dance of the soul?
Well, I mean, to me, so much of it is through the language of the heart, which is very different than the language of the brain. And it's an exciting time for that because it almost feels like language is sort of loosening in a way, and that we're getting more space to communicate and to understand that we can do the best communication without words, just as understanding an animal. There's really so much we can say with our eyes and with the vibrations that come out of us, and really kind of a matter of letting go to feel it all, to let it all in, sort of asking your logic brain to take a step back. It's not that we don't appreciate it, but sometimes I can literally feel a physical jut backwards from inside my head, and I feel like there's sort of an honoring that can be happening within me of my brain acknowledging my heart as its true leader and just saying, I'll follow you. You go ahead.
And you need to have them cooperate.
You do.
They need to be in a healthy relationship.
That's absolutely right.
Thank you, Shayla.
Oh, thank you, Will.
This is KDNK, and you've been listening to A Living World Conversation with Shayla Paradise. Thank you for listening.
I went walking in the valley, and I went right up to the dam. It made me think about the things we move and the things we jam. And I went sniffing through the forest. Yes, I went playing in the dirt. It made me think about the things that grow and the things that hurt. But all these fires taught me how to listen, and all this death has got me slowing down.